was awesome. I'm so thankful that God has given us a place of prayer where we can come and spend time with Him and His presence. And it's so many times in that place, so many things happen. And I'm so thankful for the gift of prayer. Hope you brought your Bible with you this morning. If you have it, go to the Old Testament book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter number 21 is where we're going to be this morning. If you find 1 Kings, it's about just a few pages to the left of that. The past few weeks I've been studying the life of David in my just personal Bible study. And I love to study about David. David's an awesome man. He gives me encouragement every time I read about his life, how close he was to the Lord. And this has a little bit to do with David, not much. This is something that the Lord spoke to me about just a few weeks ago. And I pray that it would be an encouragement to you today. The title of our message today is The Battles That We Face. The Battles That We Face. 2 Samuel chapter 21, verses 15 through 22. The Bible says, "Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines. And David," if you can imagine, "he waxed faint." David was tired. David was wore out. Verse 16 says, "And Ishbi-Benob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zariah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David sware unto him, saying, Thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. And it came to pass after this that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sibachai the Hushathite slew Saph, which was of the sons of the giant. And there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan, the son of Jair or Jim, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. Verse 20 says, "And there was yet a battle in Gath, where was a man of great stature, that had on every hand 6 fingers, and on every foot 6 toes. If you hadn't noticed, these are some weird dudes. All right, forgive me if y'all have 6 fingers anyway. 24 in number, and he also was born to the giant. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimei, the brother of David, slew him. These 4 were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants." Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word this morning. And God, I just pray that you would use it to search our hearts. God, I pray that you would use it right now to search out everyone in here today, God. And I just pray that your word would be edifying, encouraging, and exhorting to us today. Lord, I just pray that your word would go out and it would accomplish exactly what it was sent out to do. And Lord, I thank you that the word says it never returns void. So God, I just pray today that when the people listen, I pray that they would not hear my words. But I pray that they would look past that and hear past that, and they would hear the word that you have for them this morning. And I pray that you would greatly encourage us as we look at it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And amen. We find ourselves today in the book of 2 Samuel where the Israelites are in battle with the Philistines. And this is not just a battle, but these are 4 back-to-back-to-back-to-back battles with the Philistines. And if you were to study your Old Testament, the history of the nation of Israel from the time Israel enters the promised land called Canaan until really the end of the Old Testament, they are in battle almost every chapter with some form of enemy. whether it's the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Girgashites, the Jebusites, or any other ites that you want to add to that, Israel was in battle all throughout the Old Testament as a nation against some form of enemy. And from that, Brother Clyde, I find a parallel in our lives. Because if I'm being honest with you this morning, I have never in my 27 years on planet Earth seen so many Christians fighting battles like they are today. I want you to raise your hand in your heart today if this can be considered you, all right? Don't raise your hand out here, but if this is you, I want you to think that's me. Are you a Christian fighting a battle over your marriage? Are you a Christian fighting a battle over your children? Because those children are strung out on drugs, addicted to alcohol, or have walked completely away from God. Are you a Christian fighting a battle of addiction? Are you a Christian fighting a battle against your own body that is in pain? Are you a Christian fighting depression? Are you a Christian fighting a battle of finances? Are you a Christian fighting any one of those battles? If I were to ask you to raise your actual hand this morning, 99% of the hands would go up in here and on Facebook. I believe that in all of my heart. Because you know, today, in the day in which we're living, that is not only the last days, but I believe it's the last hours, these days are not going to be times of peace. These days are not going to be times of comfort. These days are going to be days in which God's people are going to go through great and mighty, strong, big battles, because our enemy, the devil, knows that his days are running very, 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 very short, and he is going to do all that he can to fight the people of God until his day is over. These days in which you and I are living, we need not get comfortable, because these days are going to be a great battle. And it will be an all-out war until the end. And if I'm being honest with you today, and that's my goal every time I step up here, at the end of each service we have what is called an invitation, and we invite people to come get saved, to come to Christ and come receive eternal life. And I usually say, if you'll do that, you'll have the best life you can ever imagine. And I stand by those words. The Christian life is the greatest life you can ever imagine. But let me be completely transparent with you today. When you come to Christ, it's not only the best life you can ever imagine, it's the most difficult life you can ever imagine. That's not my words. Jesus said this: narrow is the gate and difficult is the way to eternal life. He said not a lot of people are going the way you're going. Why? Because it's so difficult. Difficult is the way of God's people. Because once you get converted to Christ, church, I am so thankful that when you get converted and you ask Jesus to save your soul, your name is written in the book of life in heaven. And I praise the Lord for that. Brother Jeff, did you know this? Your name is also written down on a paper down here on earth, and you just enlisted yourself in the war. Becoming a Christian is not just about your name being in heaven, going to heaven. It's about your name being down here on the devil's list that you just enlisted yourself in a battle. That's what being a Christian is down here. You are in a fight. You are in a war. You are in a battle. And there are many people today who have walked through the doors of this sanctuary and who are listening at home or wherever they are on Facebook that are fighting battles. And to be honest with you, I have no idea what anybody in here is fighting unless you've told me. What an encouragement today to know that though I don't know, the Lord does. The Lord knows what you are fighting. And I believe we can use this passage out of His Word to find encouragement about the battles that we face. The battles that we face. I hope that you'll grab your pen and a piece of paper and write down these things that we need to remember in the midst of our battles. Number one, in this text, I want you to see the persistence of the enemy. The persistence of the enemy. In our text, there are four different battles that take place. There are four separate battles. The first one is in verse 15, 16, and 17. The second one, 18. The third, 19. And the fourth battle is found in verse number 20. There are four different battles that take place, but in each battle, notice, it is against the exact same enemy, the Philistines. The Philistines are the same enemy in every battle. You see, nearly every place, every city, every town, every province, God's people, the nation of Israel went, the Philistines were right beside them as a thorn in their side to try to destroy them. Back in 1 Samuel chapter number 17, everybody remembers the story about the Philistine named Goliath. You see, Goliath back in 1 Samuel 17, this was a while ago. This was probably about 50 years ago from where we are in our text this morning. Their champion, their warrior named Goliath, had been defeated by a teenager named David with just a sling and a stone. And man, you would expect if your greatest champion got whooped by one stone, the Philistines would go somewhere else and say, hey, we're going to pick on somebody else. We're going to go fight another opponent. But you'll find that no matter how many times the Philistines were defeated by Israel, they just kept coming back and wanting more. Most people say in our text in 2 Samuel 21, David is anywhere from 60 to 80 years old. And I want you to think about that. If David was 17, 18 years old when he beat Goliath in that battle, for the last 50 or 60 years, David's been fighting the exact same battle against the exact same enemy for 5 decades, nearly 6 decades now. So that's what's going on. The enemy here is being persistent against Israel. I want you to look at battle number 1, found in verses 15 through 17. Verse 16 says, "And Ish-bi-benob." We got to stop right there. I don't know what kind of battle you're facing this morning, but I'm usually somebody who's glass half full, not half empty. Let me be glass half full this morning with y'all. I don't know what battle you're in, but at least you ain't fighting a dude named Ish-bi-benob. All right. Can you imagine what a dude named Ish-bi-benob looked like? Number one, it says these Philistines, they're giants. I mean, this dude has got to be huge, scary, terrifying. And he walks up to David, who is 60, 70, 80 years old, and Ish-bi-benob might be 35. He's in his prime. He's huge. He's scary. He says, "I am Ish-bi-benob. I'm here to cut off your head." That's probably how he talked. I mean, it's a big dude. But you see, what happened was because God was on the side of Israel, you know what happened? Even Ish-bi-benob got himself whooped. Because you see, a lot of the enemies that we face are big, but how many of you know they're not bigger than our God? Yeah, that's what Ish-bi-benob found that out the hard way. When Abishai came and gave him a piece. Battle number 2 is found in verse number 18. Goliath has been defeated a few years ago. Now Ish-bi-benob has been defeated. But verse 18 says this phrase, "And there was again a battle with the Philistines." In other words, the Philistines still hadn't gotten the message. They just keep coming back for more. And then Sibachai, the Hushathite, slew Saph, which was also a giant. And man, you'd think they get the picture. That's 3 of their biggest giants, Goliath, Ish-bi-benob, and now a dude named Saph has been defeated. They're dead, they're gone, but they don't. Battle number 3 is found in verse number 19, "And there was again a battle in Gob with the same people, the Philistines, where Elhanan, the son of that dude, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother," look at there, this is the brother of Goliath. So now in this third battle in our chapter, there comes the brother of the 9-foot-tall man named Goliath. Now you can imagine how mad he is. You can imagine how he's out for justice. He's out for revenge because they've killed his brother many years ago. And he's been waiting on this opportunity, but you'll find because God is on Israel's side again, even Goliath's brother didn't stand a chance. Verse 20 comes up. Listen, I'm trying to get you to understand something. The Philistines ain't getting it. They just keep coming back. They're getting whooped every single time. And the Bible keeps saying, and there was again another battle. There was again another battle. There was again another battle. And verse 20, I believe, is the Philistines' last resort. And man, what a weird last resort they came up with. I mean, this dude's probably been locked in a cage for his whole entire life. Because this dude comes up and the Bible says he's got six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot. Now, Brother Danny, I don't like feet. Okay? Just be honest with you. If you hold out your foot that has five toes on it, I probably ain't going to come near you. You hold out a foot that has six toes on you, I'm running the other way. So this is a battle that Justin will have to pass on, okay? But here's what happens. This last resort comes out and they say, listen, there is no way that they're going to beat this huge guy, this weird guy, this deformed guy who has come out here. But the Bible says, once again, because God is on the side of the nation of Israel, even he was defeated. And the nation of Israel gets victory. But there's one thing in our text that I want you to notice more than anything. No matter how many times the Philistines were defeated, they just kept coming back. No matter how many times they got beat, they were very, very, very determined and very persistent trying to defeat the people of God. Now, I don't know about you, but doesn't that sound like an enemy that you and I face today? His name is the devil. His name is Satan, and I want to inform you today, at the cross, Satan was whooped. At the empty tomb, Satan became a defeated foe. But how many of you know, though Satan has been defeated time and time and time again, he just keeps coming back for more and more battles against God's people. Satan is very persistent in his pursuit of the people of God. And church, that is what makes the Christian life so tough at times, because we can wake up on Monday morning and you can be on fire for God. You can read your Bible. You can pray. You can obey God. You can overcome temptation, and you can go to bed and you can be so excited that on this day you defeated Satan. You lived for God. You did everything that you could, but you know what's going to happen? You can wake up on Tuesday morning feeling good about yourself, but you've got to fight once again. Because Satan does not care if you beat him one day. He'll come back the next day and say, I want some more. That is what makes the Christian life so hard. That, man, you can defeat Satan on Sunday, but you better wake up and get to fighting on Monday. Because no matter how many times he gets knocked down, he just keeps coming back for more. And in this text, I'll be honest, studying a lot of people's lives, this looks exactly like a lot of people's lives at times. You get done with one battle, and you look out ahead of you and say, there's another one. Am I right about it? You get done with one, and you say, praise the Lord, some peace, some comfort. And then you look out and say, well, there's another one on the way. Battle after battle after battle after battle. That's because we have an enemy who is very persistent in his onslaught to overcome the people of God. And I'm here to tell you this morning, you may be fighting any one of those battles that I mentioned this morning. You might be fighting a battle for your marriage. You might be fighting a battle for your children. You might be fighting a battle against depression. You might be battling against your own body that's in pain. But I'm here to say, though those are all different battles, it's the same enemy behind each problem. Can I tell you, in the battle for your marriage, you're not fighting your spouse, you're fighting Satan. In the battle for your kids, you're not fighting against your kids, you're fighting against Satan. In the battle against your depression, you're not fighting against your own emotional health, you're fighting against Satan. And in the battle for your body, you're not fighting really against your body, you're fighting against Satan. He's the one behind every single battle and every single problem that we face today. It's not just a physical, natural battle that you can see, but behind the scenes, there's a creature named Satan behind it all. We're not fighting against A, B, and C. We're fighting against what's behind A, B, and C. And because of that, the only way to win the battle is to trust in a God that you can't see. Because we're fighting an enemy that you can't see. In Luke chapter number 4, the devil is very, I'll give him a little bit of credit, he's very good at what he does, Brother Danny, he is. But there's a part in him that's very ignorant to think that for the past 6,000, 7,000 years, however many long this earth has been here, he can think he can defeat God. Luke chapter number 4, he goes to the Son of God. You can imagine he's probably arrogant and prideful and thinking, I got this guy. But he comes to Jesus and he tempts him three times, and for three times Jesus overcomes him with the Word of God. And I love what it says in Luke chapter number 4. It says, and when this was over, the devil departed from him. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James says, resist the devil, don't give in to him, and he'll flee from you. But you know what that said in Luke chapter number 4? Though he departed, those next few words, for a season. That's exactly what it said. It said the devil departed from Christ for a season. In other words, though he left, he's coming back. And that's exactly how it is in our lives. We may wake up and, man, we're feeling pretty good about ourselves. We're feeling pretty good about the battles that we're facing. We're feeling pretty good about the victories that we found, and the devil might not be on our back, but I'm here to tell you, he always comes back. He only departs for a season. And that's exactly what the Philistines were doing. They departed for an hour, for a day, for a week, for a year, but they always came back, a picture of Satan in our lives and how persistent he is to destroy your testimony, destroy your joy, destroy your family, and destroy your life. He doesn't play games, but he is out as a roaring lion to destroy our lives. The next thing that I want you to see in this text is not only the persistence of the enemy, but I want you to see there's an underlying plea for endurance. The plea for endurance. You see, whatever battle you're facing today, you know what it is. The devil has one goal in mind as you face that battle. To get you so tired, to get you so weary, and to get you so sick of fighting the same battle that you quit. That you give up. And that you run away from the battle that you're facing. And church, I'll just be honest with you. That is the natural tendency of every single person in here. When things get hard, the easiest thing to do is run away. And to be honest with you, at the moment, it looks like it's the best thing to do too, doesn't it? It's not only the easiest, you're looking at it and say, the best thing to do, man, is just leave. Even David said it. He said, I wish I had the wings as an eagle where I could just fly away and get away from all this mess. It'd be easier to just fly away, get away, run away from the battles that I'm facing every day. And that is the natural tendency that we have in our battles, to run away, to give up, to quit. Because at the moment, it's the easiest thing to do. But I'm here to tell you, the Bible says something different. God has a word for us in the Bible to remember while we're in the heat of the battle. And the word you must remember when you're in the heat of the battle is this: endure. Endure, endure, endure. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3, Paul is writing to a young Timothy. And he says, Timothy, things are, he says, thou therefore, my son, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He said, Timothy, endure hardship, endure affliction, endure adversity, endure all the things that come to you. Because Paul is basically underlying there saying, Timothy, things are going to get hard. Things are going to get tough. Things are going to get difficult, and it's going to feel like the whole tide is rushing against you, pushing against you in the other way. And at that very moment when things are the hardest and the most difficult, you're going to feel like quitting, but don't. Rather endure, 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 endure like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Because you see, what a good soldier does is when the mud gets high, he marches through the mud. Amen. And what a good track star does is when he's running that final lap and man, his body says quit, his body says break down, his body says it's easiest to go off on the side and rest, he continues to run with endurance. Because a good soldier doesn't quit when the mud gets high. A good track star does not quit when things get tired. And church, I want to say this, a good Savior didn't quit when He was in Gethsemane. But a good Savior endured all the way to Golgotha and died on the cross for your sins and for mine. And the Bible says, because we are in a fight, remember? We became a Christian, we got enlisted in the war. Paul says, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, endure. Wow. Not exit. The exit's right back there. How easy it is to walk out of the exit when things get hard in our life. But if we want to follow God's way, things are going to get hard. Things are going to get difficult. But God says this, endure. Endure, endure, endure. Not exit. Because that's exactly what these Israelites needed in order to go battle after battle after battle after battle after battle. They needed to endure. But let me say this, they also needed each other. They also needed each other. In verse 15 it said, David waxed faint. That means David was ready to quit. David was wore out. David was about to throw in the towel, and he just so tired of the battle. Do you know what happened? Four guys that you've never heard of in your life came up and said, David, we got you. David was 60, 70, 80 years old, probably, most people say. And these four guys, whom you never heard about growing up in church, whom you never heard about in Sunday school, come up and say, David, take a seat. We got this. We know you're tired, and we'll fight until we get tired, and then hopefully someone will come pick us up. Now what happens in basketball, Brother Jeff? You wear yourself out on the court until you get tired. You raise up your hand and say, hey, I need somebody to pick me up. That's what ought to happen in the Christian life. We're a church family, am I right? When one of you, when a member in your family gets tired, you know what we're supposed to do? Go pick them up. Say, I know you're wore out. I know you're tired. Sit down. I'll fight for you. The Bible says, bear you one another's burdens. Is that right? That's exactly what it means. A burden is something that when you're carrying around is heavy. And you don't know if you can wake up again and take it. And when the Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens, you get under that burden with your brother and say, let's carry it together. And that's what these four men did for David. David was tired. David was burdened. David was heavy. And the younger generation who needed to step up said, David, you fought long enough for us. It's time for us to fight for you. Can I tell you something in the church this morning? The older generation has fought for a long time. And it's time for the younger generation to say, thank you for fighting for me. It's time we fight for you. The Bible says we're, in this text, the persistence of the enemy. It also says we are to endure, not exit. I'm going to give you one more thing and I'm done. Not only the persistence of the enemy, the plea for endurance, but I want you to see the praise at the end. Now, you have no idea where that's at because we didn't read it. But if you go on to the next chapter, chapter 22, verse number 1. Four battles were over. David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he goes on, he says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock, in Him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge and my Savior that saves me from violence. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and so shall I be saved from all of my enemies." Verse 7 says, "In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and He did hear my voice out of His temple, and my cry did enter into His ears." And it goes on to say, the Lord delivered David out of every single enemy that he had. The Bible says these four battles were over. The enemy, the Philistines, at least for the moment, had been crushed, never to rise again. And chapter number 22 starts out with something that I love, a song of praise to God. Now, when did David sing this song of praise? Verse 1 says, "In the day that the Lord delivered him out of all the hand of his enemies." You see, I know that we put David on a pedestal that sometimes is too much for him. But I believe in the midst of these battles, David probably didn't feel like singing. In the midst of these battles, David probably had lost his joy. David had lost his song when he used to get up in the morning and the first thing that he would do was pray, and he would sing unto the Lord because he was so happy to be walking with God. But now he's so tired. He's in the midst of these battles. He hadn't had a song for a long time. He hadn't sung to the Lord for a long time. But the Bible says the day that the Lord delivered him out of all of his battles, he began to sing again. But you can imagine, in the midst of those battles, the devil was in David's ear saying, "I win, you lose. I win, you lose." But there came a day, church, this battle was over. There came a day, church, where God's enemy was laying on the field dead and God's people were shouting and singing. I like that. I'm going to say it again. There came a day when God's enemies were on the field dead and God's people were shouting and singing to the Lord. And they were crushed to never rise again. And just in case the devil's listening this morning, I want to remind him of a verse that says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire to be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever." The devil may whisper, "I'm on the winning side," but the Bible speaks he's on the losing side, and God's people are on the winning side, because there's coming a day that God, by His Word and through the Lord Jesus Christ's second coming, He is going to take the devil, throw him into the place he deserves to go, and he will spend eternity in the lake of fire, never to mess with God's people again. The battle was over. And the only thing you find in the next verse is God's people lifting their hands, not singing to one another. The Bible says they're singing to the Lord. Hallelujah. Church, there's coming a day this battle's going to be over. And what we're going to do as God's people is we're going to fall on our face and we're going to sing unto the Lord forever and ever and ever. And I just want to remind you of that this morning. That the battle that you're facing, it ain't going to last forever. Because the enemy that you face, he ain't going to last forever either. He's going to be put in the place he deserves to go. Because God is all powerful. He may have some power, but God has all power. The day of battle is still at hand. Church, when you walk out of this place, you better have your sword and shield ready. Because we're still going to have to battle. But can I tell you, we're very, very, very close. You can almost stick your hand out and touch it. Don't reach out too far. Because I'm telling you, you'll touch it. The day the battle's over and the day God's people are in victory. We are that close, I believe in all of my heart, to getting victory over this world. And Jesus comes back to get us. But you know, for right now, we are in a battle. And we need each other to fight this battle. I don't know what you're fighting today, whether it's your marriage, your children, your health, your depression, whatever it might be. Be reminded today that God is in control. That God will see you through if you'll just endure. That's all He asks us to do. Endure. 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 And trust Him while you do it. There is coming a day where no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, and no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. And it says there'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no more pain, and no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. Look forward to that day where the battle's going to be over. What a happy day that's going to be. I'm done. Musicians, come. If you could all stand to your feet. Father, we thank You for Your Word this morning. God, I want to thank You so much that we living in 2020 as Christians, as Your people, are not the only ones who have ever fought in battles. But Your people down throughout the ages have fought in battle after battle after battle. But just like David found out that You're the God that delivered him out of all of his battles. Paul found out You're the God who delivered him out of all of his battles. God, I pray that we as Your people will endure and trust You in such a way that when we come to the last day of our life, we'll come and we'll say the exact same thing. We had a lot of battles, but the Lord delivered us out of them all. Lord, I pray for each person right now that's facing a battle in their life. I pray that You minister to their heart in such a way that You become so near and so dear to them that You are their refuge in times of trouble. Thank You for being our God, our strength, and our refuge. We praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.